Welcome to Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan, conversations with people whose passionate engagement with their soul's intention have created their life and work. Today we have the wonderful opportunity of talking to Steve Linston, who I met at an amazing event with the Synchronicity Matter and Psyche Symposium in California. And I was able to listen to Stephen's Scalar Heart Connection presentation, and it was quite wonderful. So welcome, Stephen. That was a long pitch there. We're delighted to have you with all your many skills with us here today.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Nika. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we met at a rather phenomenal, I thought, symposium at Joshua Tree. And I would love to have you start with the Scalar Heart work, because that is what I experienced, and it's a rather amazing process. It incorporates a lot of our intellect, our soul, our heart, our hearing, our intuition. It's an amazing process. So if you could share with us what that is, how you got there, what brought it to your life.
Yes, well, why don't I start with the Synchronicity Symposium, since that's where we met. The symposium was Synchronicity, Psyche, and Matter. And there, people like Steven Eisenstadt and Rupert Sheldrake was there, Toko Pa was there, Gary Bobroff hosted it. And the whole weekend was a gathering of people that were interested in this whole idea of more of a collective consciousness, that matter isn't just a hard matter, that matter is really made from consciousness, that we are all part of that same universal consciousness. And then we start to run out of words of how to describe it at that level. The synchronicity part of it I found fascinating because Scalar Heart Connection utilizes the concept of synchronicity. And what I mean by that is synchronicity as defined by an event that happens by coincidence, but within the coincidence there's a level of meaning or significance. And whenever I try to come up with an example of that, I always seem to go blank. I'm not sure why that is, but I think it's because everybody has their own unique experience of it. And it's very difficult sometimes to put into words, but it can be something as simple as looking for a book, for example, and not being able to find it in your bookshelf where you thought you left it. And then maybe in a matter of hours, someone will come to you and hand you a book and say, here, I found this book and I thought you might be interested in it. And it's the same exact book that you were just looking for. So that would be kind of an example of synchronicity. And so the question I ask people, and everybody has their own story, is I ask them, well, what is the source of synchronicity? It's like, is there like a guardian angel that is sort of orchestrating events in our lives for our benefit? Is what part of the universe is orchestrating these meaningful events? And what is the purpose of synchronicity? Well, if that source is like something that is sort of beyond us or maybe even our higher self, then is it possible that we can use what I think of as heart intelligence, or that innate knowing in our heart? Can we use that to tap into the source of synchronicity? In other words, if we're having a problem in our lives, do we have to wait for a bird to fly into a window or something to give us like a clue as to what we're supposed to be doing? Why don't we just talk to the source of synchronicity through our heart? So that is how it sort of began. I mean, I have my own personal story of how I got there, but essentially, Scalar Heart Connection is utilizing the heart's innate knowing to guide us through, the daily problems that come up, the daily challenges that come in our way.
But how do we move through those, and how do we really be responsive to our heart energy as opposed to disregarding it or being overwhelmed or frightened by it, but how do we really listen to it?
Yeah, I think that the life tends to bring us challenges as a way of teaching us, as a way of helping us to grow and transform as individuals. And so when an emotion comes up, when we're having an issue with career or money, maybe we lose our house, our job, we're having relationship problems, all of these are opportunities for growth. They may not feel like it at the time. But the bottom line, I think, is that if we can tap into our heart and trust our heart, then we can ask our heart to guide us through these emotions, through these issues. And when we get answers back from our heart that are just so right on and are so meaningful, then we start to trust it. And that's what I find with Give Heart Connection, that when people do a session, and the answers that they get back are so specific to their problems. It's almost like somehow you just know that the universe is listening to you when you get the appropriate response. And that then generates the trust. And that just sort of opens up a whole other doorway to our relationship with that higher consciousness.
And it's so nice to have tools, and I think also methods of conversing with each other about them. Because I think that one of the radical things that happened at that symposium is it gave us a place where this is what we were all talking about. That
yeah.
It was a common language and a common experience, and not something perhaps that we needed to wonder how other people were going to respond, but that we could really explore in community these topics.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up. What I find when I'm doing audience demonstrations of the process, that one person will raise their hand and they'll want to be the person that demonstrates for the whole group. And there could be 50, 60 people in the room. And what often happens is that the issue that that person brings to the table is in some way everybody in the audience can relate to it. And so it's almost as though that the person that is receiving the session is also benefiting everybody else in some way. And that kind of speaks to what I think you're saying about kind of a collective consciousness, that we're all in this together. One of my favorite things to do in a larger audience is to do, you know, more, I call it like a group session, but I've been fascinated by being in a large group of people and doing a session on, let's say, world peace,
mm-hmm.
doing a session on peace. And so essentially it's like the collective group gets together and we're doing a session that is almost speaking to the heart of the earth, if you would. And mm-hmm. just to listen to what comes back from that voice, from that, I just would call it the earth consciousness, if you would, is really amazing. It just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up, just the feel that heart-centered messages that come through, and it's coming through all of us collectively.
What a beautiful and powerful experience.
It is. It is amazing. I've been telling people, if I could, I would just like rent a bus and just go all over the country and do these group repatterning sessions. With people that is connecting with heart consciousness. It's really amazing stuff.
Well, and it's I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's a simple process. You know, it's not easy to get ourselves to ask or to listen in that way, perhaps, but the process
right.
actually is not, you know, you don't have to stand on two toes and, you know, it's just listening.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics in the background, a lot of, I don't know, sacred geometry. There's a lot of numbers, numerology, and, you know, archetypal patterns that are embedded in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the session itself is very simple because it's really us asking a question to the heart and then listening to actually having that synchronicity provide us with that answer. It's almost like the I Ching for the 21st century.
Right, and that we do it participatory. Can you talk a little bit, I mean, maybe you want to go into too much depth, but I find the sacred geometry fascinating. and how that works and how you wove all those together, and perhaps a little bit, Stephen, of the inspiration that came to you to weave those together, because I think sometimes part of listening to our hearts is to be the conduit for certain levels of information.
Yes. Well, I think the easiest way to approach that, without, you know, visual aid, it's hard to imagine sacred geometry and, you know, numbers and things when we're talking. But I found in working with people, very sick people, that there was always an underlying emotional conflict that was behind the scenes. And what I discovered, sort of using the Chinese medicine model of looking at the meridians and, you know, looking at the chakras, that when somebody had an emotional conflict, that the symptom really became the issue. It became the emotional motivator for change. And sometimes people's very life depended on embracing and embodying that change. But then behind the scene was always the challenge or an obstacle that they had to overcome, which was necessary for their transformation. And then thirdly, there would be an action that they needed to take, something that they needed to actually actualize in their life, do something different, think about things differently, respond to events from a different perspective, a different heartfelt manner, instead of our, you know, our brain conditioning response, which is what gets us into trouble in the first place. So what came out of that is this sense of an issue and an obstacle and an action. And if you connect those three dots, you end up with a triangle.
Okay.
And you had mentioned the so the triangle is connecting, say, the root chakra with the throat chakra with the heart chakra. You have sort of this triangulation within these emotional centers.
Okay.
And it was that triangulation that started to make me think, well, there's triangles, and where else do we see triangles? And you had talked earlier about the quantum healing codes.
Right.
And without going into too much detail, I'll just say that those are basically musical notes. But when you look at the harmonics or the octaves above them, you find that they come together in triangles, which I thought was fascinating. I never thought of musical notes as a vibration could be connected to be to form triangles. And these triangles were throwing off triangles like a 30-degree, 60-degree, 90-degree triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that those triangles could be put together to form the geometry of some people call Metatron cube. It's also the twin tetrahedrons, Star of David. So that hexagonal pattern can actually be formed by sound, just by frequency. And so I use that as the matrix to embed the chakras, to embed the meridian channels. You find even the astrological houses. You don't have to believe in astrology per se, but the archetypal patterns can be utilized within that geometry, as well as the 12 stages of the hero's journey that Joseph Campbell talked about.
Correct.
So when you put all those together into this geometric kind of matrix, that was really the foundation for the whole scale heart connection process. And I found research by Roland McCrady, he's with the HeartMath, and also Dean Radin with Noetic Sciences. They've both done research and experiments that have demonstrated very clearly that the heart receives more information than the brain. In other words, the heart is passing more information to the brain, and the brain is passing to the heart. And then additionally to that, experiments are showing that the heart responds physiologically to future events, which is causing us to like completely rethink our notion of time as being this linear thing. I mean, how does the heart know that an event is going to happen before it happens? And so that gave me the idea that if I have an emotional conflict, if I'm having an emotional response to something that happened, If the heart knows about an event before the event happens, it must know how I should respond to that event. I mean, even if the event now has happened, but I should be able to tap into that heart's knowing to guide me. So I'm essentially using that principle with the geometry that I talked about.
That's beautifully put together. That's very, it's wonderful, because I think we all know that listening to our heart is really a profoundly both transformative and reassuring experience to check in with the heart. And then how do we honor that? How do we take the time to do it?
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say people that use the process, they get so much information that is actually things that they can apply, and they see that it changes their lives, it changes their relationships, that then they rely on it more and more. And I feel like on some level it's only a bridge, I think, as we are growing and evolving and becoming more conscious beings, that at some point we won't need tools like Scalar Heart Connection, that it will become obsolete, because we will just be able to tap into that without any of these aids, if you will.
Yes, yes, and that right now it's almost a training tool.
Yeah, it's a training tool. And when you see the power of it, and you see the power of your heart and how it can integrate and help you through our life's challenges, then you just begin, it becomes more second nature. By that I mean it becomes second nature to rely on heart consciousness than it is our conditioned sort of brain consciousness. We've been so conditioned by parental aspects and societal pressures and peer pressures that we sometimes just respond out of ways we think we're supposed to respond, as opposed to how we feel or have that inner knowing of how we should respond.
Right, or we have a separation between what we allow ourselves to know and what we share and what we consider is acceptable to share. And sometimes I think that does affect whether or not we allow ourselves to actually feel it.
Yeah, that's why I call it Scalar Heart Connection, because it's like reconnecting to that, allowing ourselves to actually reconnect to what we know is true. So I was wondering if...
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to ask you...
Yeah?
So how did you come up with a pattern to put it all together? I mean, did you have a process for that? Did you listen to your heart? Did you, and I don't mean that facetiously, I mean really genuinely, was there some guidance? Was there one of those aha moments when you looked at these wonderful numerous tools that you've gathered through your life and suddenly it began to gel?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. I probably needed the work more than anybody, which is why it kind of came to me synchronistically. But I had an event 25 years ago where I was in the corporate world and kind of minding my own business. And then I ended up in the emergency room with what I thought was an appendicitis. And the doctors at the time wanted to operate the next morning without really being able to conclusively say it was an appendicitis, so might as well take it out and we'll see what happens. That was kind of the approach, and I was not very comfortable with that. So I was so desperate to avoid surgery that I talked to a Chinese energy doctor, mm-hmm. which is not something I would have done on my own, but that was the issue. That was the motivation for change. And so I went to see him, and in a matter of 5 minutes, he had made the pain go completely away. I mean, I was doubled over in pain in 1 minute, and then 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, I was pain-free. And I asked him, I said, well, what did you just do? I've never seen anything like that. And he said, well, I strengthened you for money. You must be having money problems. And I was like, well, yeah, that was true, but I just could not get my head around how that, manifested physically like that. And his name was Cam Ewan, who wasn't teaching his process at the time. I ended up taking his workshops probably 10 years later. But in the meantime, I work with people like Chloe Wordsworth. I went to Germany. I studied bioresonance. I studied the work of Rupert Sheldrake and his idea of resonant morphic fields. And essentially, what Sheldrake is saying is that even in the embryonic stage, that our cells that are all the same cells, they differentiate based on the frequency. It's almost like this blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means, and the Germans teach this, is that the vibration of the liver is different than the vibration of the kidneys. And so emotions are also affiliated with the organs. So, you know, people talk about, you know, anger, how it affects the liver. Well, if you're angry, that anger is a vibration that is similar to the vibration of the liver, but it's a little bit dissonant. It's a little bit off. And so it can create a chaotic pattern in the liver, which can affect the liver's ability to detoxify. So you can see there's almost like this direct connection between our emotional health, what we're thinking about is a vibration, and how that affects the resonance of our healthy organs. And so I started to be a naturopath. I wanted to help people be able to get in touch with these deeper emotional issues to help bring about that kind of balance. And so this is, it's been like a 25-year journey, and I was just trying to find ways to really make it as simple as possible. And I kept wondering, well, what is the source of all this? Where is this coming from? And that's when I saw the research at HeartMath and Dean Radin with Noetic Sciences, and I realized that the heart was the key. And by the way, one of the things about the heart is I realized that it's a vibration, that the heart is beating 72 times per minute on average. So that in itself has its own vibrations. And that's 4,320 times in an hour. And if you double that, so that the heart beating in 2 hours is 8,640. And just by coincidence, there's 86,400 seconds in a day. And the diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles. And if you look at a half hour, the heart is beating 2,160 times, which is the diameter of the moon. And so when I looked at these relationships, I realized that what research is showing our heart's connection to almost to space-time can be proven out just numerically, just by the vibration, how the vibration of the earth and the heart and the moon and the sun and the solar system were all connected. And that, I guess, that gave rise to the geometry that I talked about earlier.
But you did a beautiful demonstration of it, the workshop, but you're right, it is hard. But that's fascinating, and that we are all very much a part of the world, and our connection to the world is through the manifest world, which I think some spiritual seekers forget about the beauty and the grace and the magic of being embodied.
Yes,
that the
magical.
Heart is our connection there.
Yeah, it's the interface between the seen world and the unseen world, as the Sufis would say.
Well, I'd like to experience this if we could share that with our.
I would love to do that. I think that's the best way to really experience it is to do a session and to see how the heart can speak to us.
Wonderful.
So, is there what I do on? I have a this program is online, so people can go to scalarheartconnection.com, and there's an icon there that says Ask Your Heart. Or you can also go to askyourheartsession.com, and that's where we are right now. And I just type in the issue that we're having. So, because there's something that you want to ask your heart about?
There is indeed.
Okay.
So this wonderful opportunity just sort of showed up in my life to be a radio show host.
Mm-hmm.
And a long time ago, it was a dream to be on the radio when I lived in New York City. I'm very introverted, so it's an interesting challenge. And since I have started doing it, it has blossomed and opened and met another soul need, which is to have these wonderful conversations with people who
are listening to their souls and doing amazing work and have this great engagement and passion. But my question is, where does it go? How do I step up? Do I apply to start doing it on the local Santa Fe public radio station? Sort of like, what's the next step and how do I... how do I celebrate it? How do I move deeply into it? Like, where do I go from here? What's coming through me and how do I trust, I guess, maybe?
Right. So if we were to ask the heart, well, what is the future of my radio program? The heart may not give us like a fortune teller sort of, you know, an answer specifically for the future, but we can ask the heart, if there's something that we need to be aware of in terms of what might be holding us back from manifesting what we want.
Okay.
And so when you say, what is the future of your radio show, I might ask, well, what would you like to see the future of your radio show be?
I would love to have it be really global and have not only conversations with individuals, but to have it be also a place where we could do some online symposiums and have people who are interested in similar topics have conversations, almost like a salon.
Okay.
So maybe get you and the people at HeartMath and the people at Noetic Sciences and one or two other people and have a conversation and share that with people. And
okay.
A piece of my vision for that, Stephen, is also there's a lot of us who have spent our lives here working really hard on learning and gathering these skills. And there are, it's now time for us to turn around and share them. And there's younger generations that need what we've learned and to find a vehicle where they, that's presented to them in a way that challenges, inspires, nurtures, and encourages them, an encouraging sense of the heart that it allows them to also engage their passion.
That's beautiful. So what I often say is that if we can match the frequency of what our heart desires, then the universe will conspire to create and manifest that reality with us. And so often when we have this a vision, the question is, are we, every cell in our body, is every cell in our body resonating with that desire, or is there part of us that is not quite on board? And that's the piece that we want to ask our heart about. How do we change that piece of us that is not allowing us to manifest fully in resonance with what our heart really desires? So what I would ask you to do is to take in a deep breath and close your eyes, just feel yourself grounded and connected to your heart, and ask your heart to show you a number 1 through 7.
Three.
And so what happens is, and when I do that, people are like, well, how do I know what the number is? But if you just close your eyes and ask your heart, you find that the heart will show you a number. A number will just sort of percolate up from your consciousness. And so number 3 is related to the solar plexus. So in the solar plexus chakra, the emotional center of the solar plexus is where we're holding a certain amount of disrupted energy that is not allowing us to like move forward into full manifestation of what we want. And so that's important information, but what we really want now is to know what is the actual emotion or feeling that's behind this. So in the same way, ask your heart to show you number 1 through 6.
You said 1 through 6?
Yes, 1 through 6.
5.
And so what the heart is showing us is that there is a level of worry. So right away, if we're trying to manifest something, whether it can be, again, our relationships or, you know, financial success, if there's an undercurrent of worry going on, that worry is a dissonant. It's just not going to allow us to, like, fully manifest that. So we need to know from the heart, what is it that is been conditioned in our mind-brain thinking that is creating this sense of worrying beneath the surface. So ask your heart to show you a number 1 through 17.
1 through 17?
Uh-huh.
12.
And so the heart is telling us that our mind is needing to suppress a level of anger. Now, the heart can only give us the statements that I put into the system.
Right.
And sometimes when it says I have to suppress my anger, that might not be the exact thing. It might be close to that. Does something come to you intuitively?
What comes to me when you ask me that, Stephen, is a frustration that how little we honor the magic and the mystery and the wonderful part of life, and the social constructs.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the incredible potential that humanity has had, why are we doing what we're doing?
Right. Yeah, it's to our own detriment, which is seems quite ironic.
Yeah, to the planet, to our souls, to...
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a really rough learning curve if we're trying to figure something out.
Yeah. So in that respect, the art is saying that your mind is resonating with... a certain frustration, almost anger around what's happening on the outside. And there's a sense of worry. Yeah. So maybe what the heart is asking us is to look at our goal to connect the global community, but moving away from the sense of worry or suppressed feelings around it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so maybe that I don't have to fix what's wrong, but try and create something new.
Yes.
Or participate in the creation of something new.
Beautifully said. And so it's about our intention. If we come and add it with a certain grain of worry or suppressing my disappointment at humanity, then that may affect sort of the people in the audience that you attract. I don't know.
Right, right.
So what happens when we worry is that it displaces the positive. You see how that would happen?
Yes.
That the vibration of worry is going to be chaotic to the positive vibration that we want to open ourselves to receive. So I call that the unmet heart need.
Okay.
And that is a number 1 through 44. There's a lot of them.
42.
And so what we need, which is the opposite of worry, is freedom from confinement.
Hmm.
Yeah, and freedom from confinement will allow us to open up to a global level. Is there something that makes you feel like you are sort of like you box yourself in a certain way?
I wonder if it's about wanting to do it right or wanting to know how to do it. And I guess if I'm creating something, we'll stumble along.
Right, right. And so this whole idea of wanting to do it right, that is very much a mind-brain conditioned response, isn't it? The brain is always judging, criticizing. It's either right or it's wrong.
Yeah, and I don't have a clear image even of what doing it right would be. It is. It's like this funny little frame that gets stuck down and says, well, but it doesn't have a lot of information to it. That's an interesting insight.
But there it is as this dissonant vibration that holds us back from manifesting, you know, to vibrating with what we truly want. So what we need now is to know, well, what do I need? What is the positive heart message that will allow me to shift this sense of confinement and shift this sense of worry into being free? And so we'll ask our heart to show us a number 1 through 6.
Number 6.
And that is, I am spontaneous and flexible.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we need to embed this, the vibration of being spontaneous and flexible. We have our goal and our view in sight. And we just needed to chip away at any vestige of worry or need to suppress any kinds of feelings so that we can really open ourselves up to this greater possibility. And so just by bringing that to conscious awareness has a huge shift in how we perceive and how we view this, the whole issue. To help us really embed this into every cell in our body, I have what I call the quantum healing codes. And these go back to the Solfeggio codes that you talked about in your introduction from Dr. Paleo. But I would like you to ask your heart to pick a number 127.
Four. I find it's interesting. As soon as you say that, an image comes up. It's immediate.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It is. It's quite amazing because it's like, and I'm like, well, and it's like, no, this is the one I want. Thank you.
Yeah. Once you get the number, that's it. That's your number.
Yeah.
And so what you got is the frequency of 417, which is related actually to more of the pelvic or the water chakra. So this is, we're going to listen to this.
Okay.
And with the idea that you're going to repeat to yourself, I am spontaneous and flexible,
okay,
while we're listening to this note. So that's just going to sort of help align us, bring us back into that geometrical structure that will match the frequency of what it is we want to create. So I'm going to just take a minute to have you listen to this.
Wonderful.
That is a tone that all of your listeners will be able to harmonize with also. So it's quite beautiful how this session is already affecting other people. And so what I have is a little friendly printer-friendly page here. I can print this and actually email this to you. But that is what I call the short version. It's like a preview version just to help us sort of balance on that kind of larger aspect of your issue. And then what I teach in the workshop are different, it goes into a little bit more detail where we're looking at, well, where do these beliefs come from? And in that we find earlier experiences, which could include ancestral conditioning, ancestral constellation, mm-hmm, where we can really look and see, is this a family belief? You know, is this a belief that I've just carried over from my parents?
Right.
And so there's a deeper levels that I teach people in a 3-day workshop. So how did that line up with your issue?
It was a very profound experience, Stephen, and I have to say, even the difference between the short one, having someone as skilled as yourself on the other end, really took it very deeply.
Yeah.
Even in that short time, and it really, it is exactly the issue. It is,
yeah.
You know, how do I don't have a pre-existing format, so should I fit it into this or this or this? And it was suddenly, it was like, oh, no, you don't. If it doesn't work there, then it's not the right place.
Right.
Like, really,
yeah.
And in a way, the experience of trusting my heart to come up with a number was a good pattern for trusting my heart to make the decision to reach out for what form, so that if the heart reaches for it, then it's right.
Right. I think that's one of the most, yeah?
To redefine what is right, to, you know, if my heart speaks to it.
Yeah. I think that's the most profound part of this work, is that for a lot of people, they haven't really turned towards their heart. And just like you said, just the act of asking your heart to show you a number, it suddenly creates a whole new connection, a whole new pathway, another way of being. And then when the answer comes back and you can see that the heart has some influence on perhaps a new way of thinking about things, it just really allows you to really get in touch with what you feel. And when I'm doing sessions with people in terms of their relationships or their life purpose or careers, particularly, I find that suddenly going through the heart, they intuitively know what they want to do. You know, they know what is my creative passion, and they've just given themselves permission to follow their creative passion, and that just changes everything. So people can actually change overnight. I mean, their whole life can just, like, go right upside down. I've had people, for example, this one gal who hadn't spoken with her son in 7 years. They had this kind of a falling out. And she did a session, and it completely gave her a completely different perspective from viewing things from her heart, and it just kind of, like, just reharmonized that frequency between her and her son. And her son called her the very next day.
Wow.
And they've had a close relationship ever since, and that was about 3 years ago. So that's how powerful it can be when we step into our heart compassion instead of our mind's resistance to things. So if we can do that on a global level, just think what we can do in terms of world peace and what we can do in terms of aligning our actions with what's beneficial for the environment, for the planet.
Yes, if we can listen to our heart and then as a group listen to the planet heart.
Right.
You know, then we can really move towards, you know, that Shakespearean line, what a work of art is man. We are extraordinary. And it's interesting because, as this is an example, we limit ourselves. We use our marvelous brains to not only edit and filter the world, but fence ourselves in a little bit.
We do, right. Yeah, right. That's the social conditioning. That is the, you know, we grow up with these thought patterns, and then we think that they're true, and then that's the only way we have to be. But the heart just takes all those limits away and just says, you know what, you're an unlimited being, and you have unlimited potentiality to create whatever it is you want to create. Well, great. That was a very good example. Thank you.
It was quite extraordinary, and I hope it does speak to other people. I'm sure there's other people out there who want to do it right and are trying to figure out how to follow there.
Yeah. Well, I invite people to do the online session. It's also available as an app. And I am teaching a workshop in Maui on January 24th and 25th. And there's information at scaleheartconnection.com on that. I'd love to have as many hearts get together as possible. I'll be in Seattle in May. And like I said, I'll get in a bus and come anywhere where there's, you know, people want to have a workshop in their town. I'm there because I think this is a very important time in the world. And we need to connect in a really big way to heart consciousness as soon as we can.
I think so, and I think to support each other in doing it regularly.
Yes.
So that it becomes a part of our daily routine, of our ritual, and to be part of what we share with people.
Yeah. And there are groups in different cities. A couple of cities have started these where they meet once a month, and they get together and they do sessions with each other. They invite the public to come in and have free sessions. And I just love that. I just think that is so great that these people are willing to, you know, take the time to come together and, you know, be heart conscious for a couple hours, even if it's one time, you know, once a month.
But I think that there's a resonance too, and then we began to build a community where that moved outside of space and time, that we can reach one another through the heart connection.
Yeah.
And begin to honor that and listen to it.
quite wonderful. So do you train people in this? Is this also a program that you can go study and learn how to do?
Yeah, that's the workshop that I do. It's a two-day workshop, and I go through some of the sacred geometry and some of the numbers, which just gives people kind of a scientific background. Maybe it's like an hour of just helping people's brains kind of wrap around this new information. But then the rest of the day is really, I demonstrate the practice, the session, and then we spend the rest of the afternoon practicing on each other. Because by the end of that first day, I want people to be totally competent in being able to do the full expanded session. And then the second day, I go a little bit deeper into these archetypal patterns. And so I have found that there, when I talk about the triangles, that's the issue, the obstacle, and the action. On a collective basis, you know, we've all been there. We've all been through, you know, we've all been through divorce. We've all, know what it is to have stress around job and careers and all these things. They're very similar.
Right.
You know, we haven't really created new problems for humanity. So I found that there's about 144 different archetypal patterns that fit almost all of the issues that we bring to the table. And so the second day, we go through these different archetypal patterns and what they mean and how they play out. And then that becomes part of the session. And so there's a point in the session where we can ask the heart to show us what is the archetypal pattern that has been activated in this issue that I'm having. And that, Nika, that just opens up, like the whole floor just opens up, and we just fall into this deeper world where suddenly we're finding this pattern that is really at the foundation of our problem. You know, we thought our problem was this, but it turns out it was really that. And it just makes so much sense, and it makes it so clear what we need to do and how we need to respond. That people have really, really enjoyed that. So that is the second day where we learn the patterns and then we practice for the rest of the afternoon.
Could we do that? Could we ask what archetypal pattern I was experiencing, or is that not appropriate?
Well, you can, but then it would be more difficult to give you the results of that just on the phone. I see we only have a few minutes left.
Right,
but yeah.
We're getting to the end.
I appreciate that. And, you know, basically we asked our heart to show us a number. And that gives us the pattern, and then we can go through that. And it's part of the longer practitioner session.
How beautiful.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that piece.
One of the things I really love about your work, Stephen, is the different layers that it takes us to and how you can engage it sort of at the level of profundity that you're open to.
The process, it goes very deep, very fast, but I tell people that the heart will never take you to a level beyond what you can handle at that moment.
Right.
Yeah. It's a safe place. The heart will create a very safe container for the process.
Well, what a beautiful work you've created to share with the world.
Well, thank you.
It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
So if you
it all came from the heart, so I really can't take too much credit.
But you listened.
I listened. I guess I needed to listen.
Yeah, you listened, and then you were generous and shared it. And I acknowledge that, because I think that's a part of what our new role is to make sure that we share these gifts, these insights, this knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to give your website? You have a book, by the way, that discusses this, called the Scalar Heart Connection book.
Yes, it's called Scalar Heart Connection, and I also have another one that is called Quantum Healing Codes, and they're both available at Amazon. You can also get them at scalarheartconnection.com has them available, and naturalhealinghouse.com also has them. And basically, the book just goes into more detail about the geometry and the numbers. And the quantum healing codes comes with the CD, so you actually get the codes. And the booklet that it comes with explains how to use them and in what context. So I wanted to make it so that these codes could be used even without having to go through the session. I mean, I highly recommend they're used with the session, but I didn't want to limit them either. So you get a CD that has 22 different code combinations. And my favorite one is the last track, track number 22, which is the open heart chord. And that is just a very amazing chord to listen to. I like to open up all the workshops with that chord.
Would that be an appropriate way to close this conversation?
It would. Let me run to that as we're talking. And we can close with that. That's a great idea.
And I think what we'll do is I will say goodbye. You can play it, and then we'll just...
Okay. And there it is. So I will turn the mic over to the chord. This is the open heart chord.